Dub Howard is one of my friends. Anybody who listens to the program knows. And welcome back to the Northern Kia Studios. And he was tweeting me here, texting me during the break, saying, "Man, you're getting into fights at, on a Sunday morning." I said, "I'm not getting into fights." I mean, Tim calls the show on occasion, and he's a passionate fan. And again, we could disagree without being disagreeable. And I don't think we were disagreeable. Passionate, but not disagreeable. We certainly disagree. I mean, obviously. And again, I'm not the one saying super and bowl, okay? Super and bowl is coming out of the mouth of Raheem Morris, not me. I said 10 wins, NFC South. I think it's going to be a bit of a fight. The Falcons, we can go over this, and we certainly will, and you will have wall-to-wall coverage of training camp, even though no fans are going to be allowed. Beginning Wednesday, wall-to-wall coverage of Falcons training camp on Sports Radio 99 The Game, from early in the morning to late at night, all the shows, right, in and around Falcons camp, Dukes and Bell, Steakhouse, Morning Shift, and, of course, Andy and Randy, and all the shows are going to be. I would be out there, too, if I could get there. I can't, unfortunately. I think all you understand why. So I'm going to lean on Squid and Joe Patrick and Mike Johnson and, all our guys out there that are covering this. And if Eric Slaughter goes out there, Eric, are you going out to camp?
You better believe it. And I'm going to come pick you up and take you out there for a day. I'll make that promise to you if you want to go.
All right. Well, we'll have to work that out. I mean, it's going to be a haul.
I spend half my time in Emerson already.
I know. Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm near Emerson. It's just, as long as you know where I am, I'm not far from where you, the Lake Point there. So, okay, yeah, you understand that. Okay, yeah, okay, yeah. Good. I mean, because it's like 70-some-odd miles. Yeah. It's a haul across. You can go across. The funny thing is you can go across the – it's almost easier to go across, Highway 20 all the way over the top
Canton,
end.
Go through Cumming and right. Canton and then go across the lake. That's how I go. That is how I go, yes.
Yeah.
No, it won't.
404-726-0929. And you can be passionate here. Tim has an opinion. Look, it's his opinion that the Falcons are going to be 6-10, I guess. 7-10, 6-11. Pick one. But he says, in third place, that's fine. And injuries happen, and we can't know. How are they going to adapt to the offense? They do have a difficult schedule at the beginning of the year. They got to come out of the gate running. There's a chance that Kirk Cousins doesn't take there's a chance the first time you see Kirk Cousins take a snap as an Atlanta Falcon is the first possession against the Pittsburgh Steelers. There's a chance he doesn't take a snap in preseason. And so that will be another thing that we have to watch for. I mean, how long does it take him to get up to speed? I mean, they're obviously going to be working through the offense. They're going to have these joint practices at the hole with the Dolphins. And a lot of times I hear people say, coaches tell me, because I asked this a couple of years back, 4 or 5 years ago, the Falcons were holding a joint practice, I think, with Jacksonville. And I said, how important are these? And at that time I was told that the joint practices are far, far more important than the preseason games. Because the preseason games, for two reasons. One, the preseason games, you're not showing anything, so you're not running your packages anyway. And number two, especially early on, you're playing a lot of the guys. You're just trying to find out who is going to be on the team, 48, 53 practice squad. You got to do your cuts. So we're trying to determine from 90 down to practice squad, from practice squad down to 53, from 53 down to 48. So you're trying to stack the team and stack it in the best possible position. And so a lot of your energy goes to that. It's just roster construction more than anything else. And there's a reason that we've gone from four. Well, we had six preseason games. We used to have six. And to four, now to three, and eventually we'll get down to two for the same reason that colleges don't play any. Because it's just roster construction. It's not really implementing game plan. Plan comes in practice, and it comes in these joint practices they hold, which is another thing, too, to watch. This is neither here nor there, but there's already discussions because of the television money potential of two things in college football to come to college football. Like, for example, this year, the two-minute warning comes to college football, but that's a small point. So do headsets where you can talk to the quarterback and whatnot. Again, small point. Of joint practices in college football, split joint practices, where Alabama would go to Nebraska and send half their team, and Nebraska would send half their team to Alabama and hold joint practices at the same time. And the other thing they're talking about is the potential of spring football games being like Alabama and Nebraska on TV and not just an inter-squad game, because they can sell it and make a ton of money. And so college football is not going to look like it. It's going to look different. Okay, I'm just telling you. It's going to look different under the new regime. I love the NCAA this week coming out saying, hey, guys, we'll go ahead and we'll run it. I love how they think that anybody's still listening to them. Oh, please, no, let me in. You know, I promise I'm, you know. It's just like hilarious. 404-726-0929. Are we going to have a problem here? I don't think so. I mean, the best case scenario for me is that Michael Penix doesn't see the field this year, healthy, doesn't see the field this year. That's the best case scenario. And as one person said, one caller and one guest already said, hey, listen, at the end of this year, we have to reevaluate. Yes, we do. And if Kirk Cousins does Kirk Cousins things, depending on how good the Falcons are, we will reevaluate. I mean, could they go to, if it doesn't work out quite so well that they do, the problem, see, you're kind of stuck here. If you're wishing that the Falcons only achieve a certain amount of success, not wishing injury on Kirk Cousins, that they could have a decision at the end of the year, oh, well, you know, Kirk didn't really work out the way we wanted it to, and now maybe we should go to Penix, is that you have another $50 million left on that contract that you got to pay Kirk Cousins. And now you're talking about $50 million to a guy that didn't quite work out the way we wanted. You still got to pay him $50 million, right? So, and nobody's taking him because he didn't quite work out the way you wanted him to, you know? And so you really are hoping that Kirk Cousins blows this out. You want him to have a great, not blows out his Achilles again. You want him to have a great year, okay? A great year. Because you want him to have two great years. And I know that's not what some of you want to hear, but that's really what you want. You want Michael Penix to not play this year and not play next year. That's the real best possible world for the Atlanta Falcons. I'm just telling you it is. And so, because he's got 2 years guaranteed on that deal, and he's $100 million of that is guaranteed, you want to get every penny's worth out of that, and that means if he could take you to big heights, then he takes you to big heights, and I hope he does. But are we going to have a problem here with some of you here in terms of your opinion here? Let's go to Keith here. He's on with John. Hey, Keith, welcome to the program.
Hey, John. How are you doing today?
Good, man.
Hey, yeah, you probably won't agree with my take. First, I wanted to real quickly hit on the Olympic thing. To me, the best Olympic sport by far, and I grew up a grappler, a wrestler, is the wrestling. It's so physical. They've shrunk the brackets and they don't follow it as closely, but the wrestling's amazing on the Olympic
and there's
side.
Two different styles still, right?
Yes, they do the Greco and the freestyle. Now, I don't even know, to be honest with you, and I'm still grappling to this day. I'm doing jiu-jitsu now, but I don't know if both of those are in the Olympics now. I know they've really shrunk the brackets, and they really squeezed it way down. But I actually enjoy, which sounds crazy to most people, but I enjoy the NCAA wrestling more than I do the basketball when they get into the championship.
Keith, you got a lot of Iowa in you. That's all I can tell you.
Well, I came to Georgia in 1979. I went to Chamblee High School, so I'm a DeKalb County guy like you.
Yep.
But jumping onto my Falcons take, I'll say this. I'm willing to admit I'm a fan. I'm a Bear fan first. But I think the Falcons are probably very close to what the caller who said he just assesses players. I think they're a mid-row team at best, John. I think they lost their last five, maybe their last four or five in a row. And you brought back probably 70% of the team. Your draft was for a third and fourth round pick defensive tackles.
All right, so let me ask you a question, Keith. In the offseason here, as you look at the division, I'll make this real quick. From an offensive standpoint, how many points a game better is this Falcons team now than the one last year? Because I think they're 6 to 7 to 8 points better.
I think they're definitely better with Cousins than the last three quarterbacks.
Six to seven points better a game? Fair?
I'll give them four. NFL's tough.
Well, they scored under 19 points a game last year.
I think they're
6 to 7. Okay, hang on. Just let me finish this out because I got some.
Sure.
How many points a game better do you think do you expect with a new coach and with some new additions that Carolina might be? Because I think they're going to be 2 to 3 points a game better.
I think that's fair. Okay. Again, I think three or four points.
So let's go to Tampa. I think Tampa is 0 points better. think they're the same team.
Which was a better team than the Falcons.
I didn't ask you that. I said I think they're 0 points better.
Yeah, okay. I'm willing to get
I think New Orleans is 0 points better. Matter of fact, maybe negative.
Okay. Let's just say that's all
okay.
true.
So you say that's all true. If the Falcons are 6 points better, last year's record is 12-5. There's a reason the Falcons are heavy favorites. Keith, you understand the Falcons are heavy favorites on the board to win the NFC South, right? In Vegas.
John, well, that's like when I make comparisons, which you don't like when I tell you the Braves are the closest team, the Hawks are the second closest team, the Falcons are the third closest team, and the other guys like Atlanta United, that's not even a real sport because it's like the fifth best league in the world. So,
all right, I do appreciate it, Keith. I mean, I'm just not going to have you just slam soccer, Keith. Come on. I mean, I like Atlanta United. My daughter works for Atlanta United. You know, I mean, you're a Bears fan. Look, I admit my bias. You know, Tim won't admit his bias. I was, when Dumb Howard called me and texted me and said, can't believe you got into a fight with, Tim before noon on Sunday, and I said, well, it wasn't a fight. I was more impressed with the fact that Tim managed to get a cell phone in because, you know, no phone privileges before noon, usually on a Sunday down in New Orleans. Let's go to Stacy here, 404-726-0929. Hey, Stacy, welcome to the show.
Hello, good morning. I just wanted to bring some hope and cheer this morning. So I'm seeing Kyle Pitts do the golden spike last night, and I believe it is the first time this season that the Falcons were recognized at a United match that we won. And I'm actually a United and Falcons season ticket holder.
That was a really good win for United. I mean,
yes, it was incredible.
You know, and for Rob Valentino, I really hope, you know, they make the playoffs, maybe make just a little bit of noise. But I think he's in the mix to be the head coach. You know, this is his second go-round as interim.
Absolutely, we love him as a fan.
Yeah, I think it would be a popular move to keep him as head coach. It'd be interesting.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Stacy. Appreciate it. Garth's going to have a lot of decisions here. You don't have to hit and run. I mean, again, you're my guest here. You know, Keith, the Bears fan, has called many times, and I knew what I was getting into when I took his call. He and I have gone around and around. So there's some callers. Tim's called a number of times. That we go round and round. It's fine. You know, they want to throw shade. It's okay. It doesn't bother me. I'm comfortable in my position here. The Hawks are closer than the Falcons. Okay. Were that true, I wouldn't be unhappy. I'm a huge Hawks fan. That would mean we had three teams that are close. Look, anything is possible. But to sit here and not understand that the Atlanta Falcons are the favorites in the NFC South, and there's a reason they're handily the favorites in the NFC South in Vegas, because Vegas sees the same thing we see. This team is a touchdown better. I think you're really going to see this. If they get to Week 10 and are above 500, this division is over. If they're healthy and above 500, they're 6-4 at Week 10, and they're healthy, and they're 3-2 in the division, it's over. Falcons are going to win the division in a walk. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah, there's times that this might be my, if I had an open, might be my theme song. For those of you who don't know, this is the open to one of the great anti-drug songs of all time. Anti-drug songs called Master of Puppets by Metallica. And a great song. Anti-drug. I mean, like the great anti-drug songs of all time. White Rabbit by Jefferson Airplane. That Smell by Lynyrd Skynyrd. Master of Puppets by Metallica. Great anti-drug songs. Master of Puppets. You know, don't let it be your master. So I wish Stacy would have hung around a little while longer. When you come on the show, you're my guest, not a caller. And I had a couple questions for her, and she kind of bugged out, which is okay. It's fine if you just want to come by and say hi, and that's okay too. Just to talk to her about the Falcons and about Atlanta United. You can get in at 404-726-0929. Look, to this whole thing about, you know, that I'm biased. Of course I'm biased. I admit I'm biased. I'm the keeper of the Kool-Aid, the driver of the bandwagon. I admit that I'm biased. I am now the, you know, the countdown guy. I had a name for it, a nickname for it. But anyway, keeper of the clock, but that's keeper of the Kool-Aid, so I have to figure it out. I'm countdown guy. But I admit that I'm biased. But that doesn't mean I can't be analytical and honest. There's a difference, okay? Like somebody got on me, and I'm going to get to both of you that are hanging on here, Nick and Mario. Just give me 1 second here. Somebody got on to me about an interview that Carl Dukes and I did with Steve Coonan, saying to me I had been complaining that the, I don't think it's the right word, but that the Atlanta Hawks had not come out and given a statement, Tony Ressler, Coach Snyder, Landry Fields, in full-throated support of Trae Young being on the team, which they haven't, by the way. And so I had an opportunity. So you had an opportunity to have Steve Coonan on. Why didn't you just say to Steve Coonan something like, hey, can you tell me for fact that Trae Young is going to be on the team? Why didn't you ask him that question? It's because that's not Steve Coonan's place. I wasn't going to put him in that position here because all he could do was equivocate. Now, equivocate's a big word for all you swampers. It means talk around something. It's like you do in front of the judge. So he can't because it's not his job to do that, okay? That's for the coach. That's for the general manager to say yes. Now, they haven't said yes publicly. They may have done it privately, but they haven't come out and said yes publicly. Now, we all think that, but there has not been, hey, let's be clear about this. Trae Young is on this team. He's the leader of this team. That's all. Just make that statement. You haven't done it yet. Would help all of us if you did. Okay, that's all. And I want the Hawks to blow this 35.5 game over-under in Vegas out the water. I want them to be 45.5 over-under. I want them to be this to all work, that Risa Shea's up for Rookie of the Year, that Jalen Johnson takes the next step to becoming a true star in this league, and that Trae gets to be logo Trae, takeover Trae again, and that this team is really exciting to watch. Okay? Now, that's hopeful, okay? I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying it's hopeful, all right? My hope is that the Atlanta Falcons, all this works. We got a lot of new stuff here. You got a new system, new coaches, new defensive coordinator, new offensive coordinator, new quarterbacks coach, new head coach. You're putting in new systems with some new players at critical spots, and you're having to start the season off against really tough teams in prime time. With the first 5 weeks are brutally hard. I want to survive that. Then I want to get to week 10. I mean, I understand all this. That doesn't mean I'm not hopeful that they're going to be good, and to automatically assume that they're going to be bad is to think that they're going to have injuries or that these people don't know what they're doing. And I think that that is not an analysis. That's just hate. That's just ignorant hate, in my opinion. Because an honest analysis says, on a roster standpoint, the Falcons have the best team in the NFC South. That's an honest analysis, because they do. They're better than Tampa. They're better than the Swampers, and they're far better than the Panthers. Now, did they play like that last year? No. But they, again, we went from the worst quarterback room in the NFL, you know, over the last couple of years. You had the noodle arm quitter and DoorDash Dez. And suddenly we have Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix, and everybody's like, why did you draft a quarterback? We went from the worst quarterback room, let me get this straight, worst quarterback room in the NFL to potentially one of the best quarterback rooms in the NFL, and y'all mad. Okay. 404-726-0929. Let's go to Nick. Hey, Nick, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, thanks for having me. I wanted to talk about, so I heard Ryan Ramczyk, the offensive tackle for the Saints, is out for the year, and Shaq Barrett is also out for the year for the Bucs.
What, Shaq retired.
He retired, okay. So would those two departures be, I guess, critical to both those teams' success? Like, did the Bucs have Shaq Barrett in mind for?
Oh no! Okay, Nick, stop. Shaq had already left the Bucs. He was with the Dolphins.
Okay.
And he just retired. He said his body couldn't take it anymore.
For the Braves.
Stop for a second. To your point here, I mean, Shaq Barrett. His height, and he had been injured. He retired. Tampa let him go. Miami picked him up, just so that we understand what happened. And he just said, "Look, I can't go any further. My body won't take it."
Okay.
Ramczyk not being with the Saints. Yeah, of course that's a loss. Now he's been banged up a lot lately. So I mean, but they have other issues here. Kamara's holding out. He may hold in. We know that he, you know, was only partially with the team last year. There are some people who are thinking, we were talking earlier about tanking, that if things start to go sideways, that the Saints, and I know that Saints fans are going to get mad at this because they're not going to hear me right here, Nick, that the Saints may make a decision to tank because they are going to need a new head coach, and they're going to be like Atlanta. They're going to need a new head coach and a new quarterback. And they wouldn't mind it if they could get under, from out underneath Derek Carr, fire Dennis Allen, bring in a new head coach, and bring in, like, bring Ryan Nielsen over from Jacksonville, you know, our former defensive coordinator who they really like down there, and then be in the draft to get a Carson Beck done in New Orleans. So that's something to keep your eye on as to whether or not if the Saints get off to a slow start, you might see that team start to slide. What are they doing? They're quietly tanking.
Right. I think the only thing, like you said, this is going to be the first year of a new system, new coordinators, new coach for the Falcons. Because I know the first year with Shanahan and Quinn, they were 9-7, and then the second year they made that Super Bowl run. So that's my only concern, really, with year one of this new system is Kirk Cousins and the weapons and the defense need a little time just getting into the swing of things of this new system while dealing with the difficult first five games of the season.
All right, so stop there because I got a question. I got a question for you. Let me dig this up. Hang on. I don't disagree with you that the beginning of the season is really hard. And for all those reasons, you just hear this. Here's why I think that, you know, if you can get to week 10 and survive, it's week 10 that everybody needs to be pointed at. Week 10, they play at the Swamp, okay? They will have already played five of their six division games by week 10. They will play both games against the Swampers and both games against the Bucks. They will only have one game against Carolina the final seven games of the year. So they have to be in a position by week 10 to win this division, which means they probably need to be 3-2 at the worst by week 10 in the division. So if they get to 3-2 and they're 500 or they're 5-5 or 6-4, they're in a really good spot, though, because here's to your point. Yes, you're correct. They went 8-8 in Quinn's first year, not to correct you, but they started off 5-0 and then they faded, right? And but there were a lot of injuries that happened on that team. That's neither here nor there. Their schedule also got really tough that year. If you get to week 10 and you're 500 or better and 3-2 in the division, from that point on you're playing Denver, the Chargers, Minnesota, Las Vegas, the Giants, Washington, and Carolina. That screams 6-1 to me. They can make if they can survive to week 10 and they stay healthy, the back end of that schedule, they can get hot.
Agreed.
That's all. That's my only point. what else?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that. And it's funny how Rich Eisen loves to gas up Baker Mayfield and the Bucs. And you go through Tampa's schedule, it's a first-place schedule. And I would say, if not break even, of course, I think the Falcons may have a slight edge on roster. But if you look at that schedule difference between our Falcons,
You cut out.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I don't look. The Bucs are the second best team in the division, and that's the biggest threat to the Falcons, and they've won it the last couple of years. So, and Baker Mayfield's found a home. He settled in. I wouldn't say he's a great quarterback, but he's a good quarterback. And so though they've certainly, but they're getting to be really old down there. That's a team that's starting to age, and you know, and I think you know last year may have been kind of their this model of the. I said at some point both the Bucs and the Saints need to because it happens to everybody. You know, you need to regroup in a couple in 3 years from now. Okay, 3 years from now, the Falcons are still going to be pretty darn good. Carolina's going to be much better. And if the Saints and Bucks don't take a step back and regroup, in 3 years, they're going to be at the bottom of the division again. Both of them. And it's going to be, we're back to like Cam versus Matt Ryan.
Right. And that's only if Bryce Young returns to his form.
Yeah, you're breaking up again for me. I'm sorry. I'm losing you there, Nick. Sorry about that. I'll get to Mario. Yeah, either Bryce Young does turn out, or look, it's okay to sometimes admit you made a mistake. If he doesn't, we have a new head coach in there, in Dave Canales, and if it's obvious that after this year they go, okay, he's just too small or whatever, it's just not going to work. The previous staff made a mistake here. And we got to move on, and they have a bad year this year, and suddenly they're in the top of there, and they're going, hey, listen, we got to get Carson back over here. The Bryce Young thing ain't going to work. Sometimes you just got to eat it and let go. I mean, you just do. It happens. I mean, sometimes you take a quarterback that high, and it just doesn't work out. And Look at the San Francisco 49ers. The only reason you're not bagging the San Francisco 49ers for trading up to number three to get Trey Lance is because they got so bloody lucky with Brock Purdy, right? If they don't get lucky with Brock Purdy, the whole arc of the San Francisco 49ers not only changes from a perspective of how good they are, but your whole opinion of Kyle Shanahan probably changes because it was Shanahan who went, oh my God, Trey Lance is going to be the greatest thing since... You know, it didn't work out for, you know, look at Zach Wilson in New York. I mean, we don't have to go back to Ryan Leaf. It doesn't, we're just talking about right now. It didn't work out for Justin Fields in Chicago. He's a backup. Dude's a backup. Let's go to Mario. Hey, Mario, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me. First, I want to start out by saying I'm a huge Atlanta Falcon fan. I've been for 50 plus years. I'm a season ticket holder, and I go to away games, et cetera, et cetera. But I want to make a statement similar to what you made. I can still be very analytical about the team. And, you know, I'm a chess player and all that. So I look at, you know, I look at all 22 players. So I don't just follow the ball. I look and see what everybody's doing. But I'm going to make a bold statement here. And I'm going to say that Tom Brady has beat the Atlanta organization twice. We know about that Super Bowl debacle, so we won't recap that. But he's got Atlanta organization thinking that you can bring in a 36-year-old man with a former major injury and still play football at a highly competitive level. Kirk Cousins, in no stretch of the imagination, can be spoken about in the same breath as Tom Brady.
Did anybody say he was Tom Brady? Wait, stop for a second, Mario. Who said he was Tom Brady?
I'm just saying that, well, Tom Brady went from one team and won a Super Bowl with another. And what I'm saying here is that Kirk Cousins didn't win anything in Minnesota, and we expected him to take us to the promised land in no way and no fashion. Thank God that the organization went and drafted Pennies.
Mario, slow down. Let's have a conversation here, okay? I don't disagree with you. Mm-hmm. I'm not expecting Kirk Cousins to win a Super Bowl here. I never said that. I said win the division. Can he win the division? Yeah. I mean, go out and win a division title.
Is that what we want as an organization?
Yes.
Is that what we want? Just win the division?
You don't want to make the playoffs? Wait, hey, you don't want to make the playoffs? Is that what you're saying to me?
Oh, I definitely want to make the playoffs. But I want to win a Super Bowl. This is what this,
okay, but
this town is.
That may not happen this year. Right? Raheem Morris has not coached a game as in this version as a head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Do you expect them to win the Super Bowl this year?
So we see new guys rise to the top, and he's not exactly a new guy. So I'm not putting it on the coach. I'm putting it on the trigger man. The trigger man is going to have to take us to the promised land. This guy can't even be compared to Matt Ryan in Matt Ryan's worst day. Okay, Matt Ryan was a great quarterback. I love Matt Ryan.
All right, Mario, stop for a second. I don't understand. Mario, you're not making any sense to me. I'm not getting any clarity. Okay, I'm going to have to ask you a couple questions. Okay. What is your expectation for, let's say Kirk Cousins is a quarterback for 2 years, okay, stays injury-free, he's the quarterback this year and next year. What is your expectation for the franchise?
My hopes or my expectations? Are you asking my hope or my expectation?
I don't know both. I mean, what are you expecting to see here? What do you hope to see here?
My hope is to win the Super Bowl. My hope is to win the Super Bowl.
Okay, so what are your expectations?
My expectation.
Of course, what is your expectation?
Is 9-7, 10-6.
Let's get back to everybody. Stop for a second. Stop, everybody. This is the second time it's happened today. If we're going to do records, because you're saying there are 17 games in an NFL season, right? Because can we get to that number, please? So you're saying 10-7, 9-8? Is that what you're saying? Just above 500?
Yes. I'm sorry. Okay. 17 games.
No, right. I know you are. It's happened multiple times. Yeah. People forget there are 17 games. Okay. Well, that's fine. Yeah. That's what I said at the beginning of the year, Mario. Then we're on the same page.
I said
10-7.
I totally agree with you on that. But, you know, just winning a weak South division is really not enough. I mean, we're going to go up against a Philly or we'll go up against a San Francisco, and we're going to get creamed if Michael Penix is not
What happened with Tampa Bay in the playoffs when they faced Philadelphia this past year? Tampa won. How about the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah, okay, well.
I'm just asking. Yeah. That's all. I appreciate it, Mario. I got to get to a break here. Sorry, Mario. I got to get to a break here. Sorry, I'm way over. I'm just way over. Sorry. All right, quick break. Back with your calls on Sports Radio 929 The Game. Was actually a great call because Mario was the perfect call for the question I started the show with. Are we going to have a problem, and this is the real question on the Falcons, are we going to have a problem once we come out of training camp? As training camp starts this week, and welcome back to the show, John Fricke with you from the Northern Kia Studios, 404-726-0929. This is the week that Falcons training camp begins. It begins Wednesday, so welcome to the first week of Atlanta Falcons. They're going to be on the field, working out, practicing, back at work, all that. It begins.
It was me for what we just do.
929 The Game websites on our Insta, on our Facebook, on our Twitter. You should be following us on all the platforms. And, of course, 929thegame.com and right here on the radio. And we'll have all of it for you in terms of the interviews, the pictures, the photos, the breakdowns, the analysis, everything from Falcons training camp here. But Mario was like the perfect caller, okay, because he answered the question, are we going to have a problem coming out of training camp? And that was the original question, because you're going to fall in love with Michael Penix. I'm telling all of you right now up front, you're going to fall in love with Michael Penix. And are we going to have a problem coming out of training camp? Because there's going to be a section of you who are going to be, oh, my God, we've got to start this guy right now. And forget about the $100 million we paid Kirk Cousins. We got to play this guy. Mario is a Penix guy. He's the guy that's going to be the problem because he's going to want to start Michael Penix Jr. right now. He doesn't want to have – he's like, I want us to get rid of – can we trade him? I don't want nothing to do with Kirk Cousins. He's almost like wishing Kirk Cousins would just go away. And I told you, this is it's exactly what I was explaining to you. I think we're going to have a problem because Mario is going to be the problem. And not that I don't mean that in a bad way. Mario is not a pejorative here. Pejorative being a big word for all of you Swampers. If you don't know what it means, look it up. It's what I do to you all the time. I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just saying that you're going to have a whole bunch of fans, and I also want to brace you for the fact that there's a reason that Taylor Heinicke is still on the team, that if anything does happen to Kirk Cousins, Taylor Heinicke is going to get he's going to get the ball before Penix. What? Yeah. Again, it's only about the fact that you got to let the game come to you. And one of the reasons that, Troy Aikman went 1-15 his first year in the NFL. Peyton Manning went 1-15 his first year in the NFL. Bryce Young had a bad year last year. That's not indicative of what Bryce Young is going to do in the future. It wasn't indicative of the other guys. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. Some guys are just it's an individual thing. And as you get better players around you, like Manning and Aikman did, obviously, as Bryce Young will a little bit this year, not a huge jump, but some better players around him, then you see in years 2 and 3, right? Because the game slows down. It's a processing game, okay? And the problem with Desmond Ridder, with DoorDash, last year was when he threw the worst pass in the history of Falcons history in the Carolina game in the rain, is that he was no better. He had not advanced at all. Now, maybe that's coaching, or maybe it's him, or maybe it's a combination of the two, but he was no better a player at processing than he was as a rookie the year before. He hadn't grown one bit. He hadn't progressed at all. And so Michael Penix will be a far better quarterback standing on the sidelines watching and processing and learning by week 6, by week 10, by the end of the year, by the end of next year. He'll be a far better quarterback because he'll be able to process the NFL game. Because the game comes at you in a much better way than it does in college. We all understand that, right? It's the leap from high school to college is, especially major college, is ginormous. This is why people say to me as a Nebraska fan, somebody who went to school there, hey, listen, are you really hoping there's a big leap in the Huskers this year? Because you have Dylan Raiola, who I think could be a special quarterback, by the way. Having watched him, you go, okay, this dude's got NFL star written all over him. And he does. He's got all what you want. He has got the feel in the pocket, the ability to slide. He's got that Mahomes kind of ability. He's got a cannon. He's got touch. He's got command. It's like everything is there. All the recipe is there for Dylan Raiola to be a star quarterback. Okay, so I get it. But he's a freshman, okay? Now, in the early part of the season, the good news for my team is they're not playing anybody. But still, he's a freshman. And so no matter how much you try and replicate things, when you throw a freshman in, sometimes it happens. Some rookies have great success their first year. Dan Marino went to the Super Bowl, right? Jameis Winston and Johnny Manziel won Heismans. Sometimes it happens. But more times than not, the leap that you get takes a while to adjust to. And maybe Penix would be a little bit ahead of the curve, given his age, he's 24, than a 21-year-old quarterback might be, and that's possible too. But again, I think the best possible outcome here for all of us to understand, while you're hating on Kirk Cousins, in my world, the best possible outcome is that Kirk Cousins stays healthy and is the quarterback of this team for, at a minimum, the entirety of this year. Maybe two. Because if he is, that means this team is enjoying a lot of success. And we just got to kind of survive the beginning part, the first 5 weeks, and then in the next, because it's like almost like 5 weeks, 5 weeks, and seven. It's like almost breaking it into thirds, because the first five games, you've got to have success, because you're going to be playing your first five games, you're going to be playing both the Bucs and the Saints. You got to win those games. Forget about, Philadelphia's the third most important game. The Steelers and the Kansas City game are, do we want to win them? Sure, of course we do. They're both at home. They're high-profile games. You want to win them. I understand that. But if you lose them, it doesn't kill you, okay? Going to Philadelphia is a tough game. You're on the road. It's at night. It's in their place. All those things. It's a conference game. It's a tiebreaker game. But the two most important games really are the Bucs and the Saints. You got to win both those games, right? And then in this next five, you're going to play the Bucs and Saints again. So you've got, and by the way, you're also going to play Carolina in the next five. You're going to play three. You're going to play five of your six division games by week 10. So you've got to get to a point where at week 10, you are 3-2 in the division. Because the only game you have is a game against Carolina late in the year where you're at home. Matter of fact, last game of the season in the final seven games of the year. And so if you're 3-2 in the division, you have a super big leg up. If you can get to week 10, 500 or better, 5-5, 6-4, with only Carolina left at home at the end of the year, and you're 3-2 in the division, yeah, we're in really good shape. Okay? So that's how I kind of view the season at large in the schedule. And in order to get there, you're going to need veteran leadership to navigate those first 5 weeks. That is, putting Michael Penix back there, as good as I think he's going to be, is a recipe for no bueno right now, because they're going to throw everything at him. Mike Tomlin would stunt him into oblivion in the opening game, guys. It doesn't matter. Preseason, he's going to see things in the opening game he's never seen on a football field, ever. And he's going to, how he reacts to that, Kirk Cousins will go, oh, I see what you're doing. Okay. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, seen that, been there, done that. And this whole storyline about how Kirk Cousins, he's never had any success. Dude played with crap teams. He didn't win a college football national title. Why? Because he played at Michigan State, which is, it's Michigan State. If he had was actually a great call, because Mario was the perfect call for the question I started the show with. Are we going to have a problem, and this is the real question on the Falcons, are we going to have a problem once we come out of training camp? As training camp starts this week, and welcome back to the show, John Fricke with you from the Northern Kia Studios, 404-726-0929. This is the week that Falcons training camp begins. It begins Wednesday, so welcome to the first week of Atlanta Falcons. They're going to be on the field, working out, practicing, back at work, all that. It begins.
It was me for what we just do.
9 to 9, the game websites on our Insta, on our Facebook, on our Twitter. You should be following us on all the platforms. And, of course, 929thegame.com and right here on the radio. And we'll have all of it for you in terms of the interviews, the pictures, the photos, the breakdowns, the analysis, everything from Falcons training camp here. But Mario was like the perfect caller, okay? Because he answered the question, are we going to have a problem coming out of training camp? And that was the original question, because you're going to fall in love with Michael Penix. I'm telling all of you right now up front, you're going to fall in love with Michael Penix. And are we going to have a problem coming out of training camp? Because there's going to be a section of you who are going to be, oh, my God, we've got to start this guy right now. And forget about the $100 million we paid Kirk Cousins. We got to play this guy. Mario is a Penix guy. He's the guy that's going to be the problem because he's going to want to start Michael Penix Jr. right now. He doesn't want to have – he's like, I want us to get rid of – can we trade him? Can we, I don't want nothing to do with Kirk Cousins. He's almost like wishing Kirk Cousins would just go away. And I told you, this is – it's exactly what I was explaining to you. I think we're going to have a problem because Mario is going to be the problem. And not that – I don't mean that in a bad way. Mario is not a pejorative here. Pejorative being a big word for all of you. Swampers, if you don't know what it means, look it up. It's what I do to you all the time. I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just saying – that you're going to have a whole bunch of fans, and I also want to brace you for the fact that there's a reason that Taylor Heinicke is still on the team, that if anything does happen to Kirk Cousins, Taylor Heinicke is going to get the first, he's going to get the ball before Penix. Oh, what? Yeah. Well, again, it's only about the fact that you got to let the game come to you. And one of the reasons that, you know, Troy Aikman went 1-15 his first year in the NFL. Peyton Manning went 1-15 his first year in the NFL. Bryce Young had a bad year last year. That's not indicative of what Bryce Young is going to do in the future. It wasn't indicative of the other guys. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. Some guys are just, it's an individual thing. And as you get better players around you, like Manning and Aikman did, obviously, as Bryce Young will a little bit this year, not a huge jump, but some better players around him, then you see in years 2 and 3, right? Because the game slows down. It's a processing game, okay? And the problem with Desmond Ridder, with DoorDash, last year was when he threw the worst pass in the history of Falcons history in the Carolina game in the rain, is that he was no better. He had not advanced at all. Now, maybe that's coaching, or maybe it's him, or maybe it's a combination of the two, but he was no better a player at processing than he was as a rookie the year before. He hadn't grown one bit. He hadn't progressed at all. And so Michael Penix will be a far better quarterback standing on the sidelines watching and processing and learning by week 6, by week 10, by the end of the year, by the end of next year. He'll be a far better quarterback because he'll be able to process the NFL game. Because the game comes at you in a much better way than it does in college. We all understand that, right? It's the leap from high school to college is, especially major college, is ginormous. This is why people say to me as a Nebraska fan, somebody who went to school there, hey, listen, are you really hoping there's a big leap in the Huskers this year? Because you have Dylan Raiola, who I think could be a special quarterback, by the way. Having watched him, you go, okay, this dude's got NFL star written all over him. And he does. He's got all what you want. He has got the feel in the pocket, the ability to slide. He's got that Mahomes kind of ability. He's got a cannon. He's got touch. He's got command. It's like everything is there. All the recipe is there for Dylan Raiola to be a star quarterback. Okay, so I get it. But he's a freshman, okay? Now, in the early part of the season, the good news for my team is they're not playing anybody. But still, he's a freshman. And so no matter how much you try and replicate things, when you throw a freshman in, sometimes it happens. Some rookies have great success their first year. Dan Marino went to the Super Bowl, right? Jameis Winston and Johnny Manziel won Heismans. Sometimes it happens. But more times than not, the leap that you get takes a while to adjust to. And maybe Penix would be a little bit ahead of the curve, given his age, he's 24, than a 21-year-old quarterback might be, and that's possible too. But again, I think the best possible outcome here for all of us to understand, while you're hating on Kirk Cousins, in my world, the best possible outcome is that Kirk Cousins stays healthy and is the quarterback of this team for, at a minimum, the entirety of this year. Maybe two. Because if he is, that means this team is enjoying a lot of success. And we just got to kind of survive the beginning part, the first 5 weeks, and then in the next, because it's like almost like 5 weeks, 5 weeks, and seven. It's like almost breaking it into thirds, because the first five games, you've got to have success, because you're going to be playing your first five games, you're going to be playing both the Bucs and the Saints. You got to win those games. Forget about, you know, Philadelphia's the third most important game. The Steelers and the Kansas City game are, do we want to win them? Sure, of course we do. They're both at home. They're high-profile games. You want to win them. I understand that. But if you lose them, it doesn't kill you, okay? Going to Philadelphia is a tough game. You're on the road. It's at night. It's in their place. All those things. It's a conference game. It's a tiebreaker game. But the two most important games really are the Bucks and the Saints. You got to win both those games, right? And then in this next five, you're going to play the Bucks and Saints again. So you've got, and by the way, you're also going to play Carolina in the next five. You're going to play three. You're going to play five of your six division games by week 10. So you've got to get to a point where at week 10, you are 3-2 in the division. Because the only game you have is a game against Carolina late in the year where you're at home. Matter of fact, last game of the season in the final seven games of the year. And so if you're 3-2 in the division, you have a super big leg up. If you can get to week 10, 500 or better, 5-5, 6-4, with only Carolina left at home at the end of the year, and you're 3-2 in the division, yeah, we're in really good shape. Okay? So that's how I kind of view the season at large in the schedule. And in order to get there, you're going to need veteran leadership to navigate those first 5 weeks. That is, putting Michael Penix back there, as good as I think he's going to be, is a rest for no bueno right now, because they're going to throw everything at him. Mike Tomlin would stunt him into oblivion in the opening game, guys. It doesn't matter. He's going to see things in the opening game he's never seen on a football field, ever. And he's going to, how he reacts to that, Kirk Cousins will go, oh, I see what you're doing. Okay. You know, oh, okay. All right. Yeah, seen that, been there, done that. And this whole storyline about how Kirk Cousins, he's never had any success. Dude played with crap teams. You know, he didn't win a college football national title. Why? Because he played at Michigan State, which is, you know, it's Michigan State. If he
trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again. With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.